What's going on, everyone? It is Thursday, and we're at Hamburg Brewing Company. Back in our new routine. We're here every week, and it's a beautiful thing.
We're on a schedule, and it feels good. It's like we get our lunch here. We get a little lunch beer, which is always nice. Like we always talk about, I like breakfast beer, but a little bit lager now for lunch.
A little bit lager now is the beer you got to get at Hamburg right now.
It's a great way to start the day. Beef on Weck, yeah. Which we keep trying to tell people.
I know. It's hard to get good food at a brewery.
I agree.
But the food here is spot on,
right.
Always.
My parents ate here last week. They loved it. So
That's right.
Yeah, so it's just really an all-around great place. Plus, when it's 70 degrees out this time of year, we're looking outside. It's pretty beautiful.
I still can't believe how young your parents looked. Like, you brought them in here. I'm thinking, that's no way. No way that's your parents.
Well, they live healthy.
Yeah.
I haven't done most of my life, so I'm trying to. I'm gonna have to try to start to do that a little bit more because I see the results if you live healthy.
Well, you were called out by the one Dan, our buddy Dan on the Zoom.
Harsh.
You know, in the picture.
That was like in the early stages.
You were bigger as director of personnel for the Buffalo Bills, and how much are you down since then, weight wise?
About 50.
50 pounds.
About 50, a little over actually.
How did you do it? 50 pounds.
I don't live on the company card anymore. It's a lot easier when you're going to Tempo every night and Terry Pagula is paying for the wine and steaks. Now I have to buy my own food. I have a son. So, yeah. I mean, I'm on pace to be broke and really skinny if I keep this up.
A little bread and water. That's all you need at this point.
I mean, that's it. It's survival mode and make sure our son eats, right? Our kids have to eat right.
My wife, Gina.
Oh, well, I follow her on Instagram. Yeah.
Feed me_Buffalo, shameless plug.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that invite for that dinner.
But she puts it perfectly. Oh, we got to have you over. Absolutely. Yeah, she's an amazing cook. I hit the jackpot with Gina. But she puts it perfectly. She says, some people live to eat and some people eat to live.
That's true.
She, I'm going to say this wrong. She lives to eat.
Yes.
She lives to eat. I definitely eat to live. Like, I kind of just...
You don't really care.
I mean, I'll eat anything she makes, and it's all amazing, but I'm more so just want to get to the next day.
You're not going out of your way. Like, in the Monus Report, I was trying to give some Bills fans a couple spots in Kansas City.
Right.
Other than, you know, Arthur Bryant's is the famous barbecue place, which, you know, it's touristy. It'll get you through.
Anchor Bar-ish.
Anchor, very good comparison. Yeah. There's some spots that are just, like, so unique and so special to Kansas City, just like Buffalo has the real spots for wings and beef on Wex.
You know what's weird though, Jim? Like, I'm sure Pittsburgh feels the same thing about Primanti Brothers, right? With their sandwiches. I'm going to say this though.
Go ahead.
I was just in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago for a story, and I had a Primanti Brother sandwich, and it was unbelievable. And I was thinking, like, I might have had a pumpkin with it.
Fair enough.
That's pretty high alcohol content. But I'm sitting there eating the sandwich. It's amazing. I'm dipping it in hot sauce. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm an out-of-towner. Is this how people feel when they come to Buffalo and eat wings at Anchor Bar? Are they saying, oh, my God, these are amazing? When we know they're okay.
My first – when I started scouting in the Northeast in the early 2000s, I had a certain friend of mine named Doug Whaley who was scouting for the Steelers. So he introduced me and took me to my first Primanti Brothers, the original one. And it was late night, which is the only way I would ever eat that sandwich. So, yes, I think you have to have a little added incentive to really enjoy it.
No, that's well said. That's well said. We'll definitely pick this back up.
More to talk about.
We're going to dive right into our guest,
though.
This is good. We shot him the link. Wasn't sure when he'd be able to pop in, but Matt Miller, you know him as the Draft Scout, also has his own Substack, which is fantastic. Covers the draft year-round. Really, in a lot of ways, revolutionized the way the NFL draft is covered. But he also knows a lot about the Kansas City Chiefs. And we're going to really dedicate a good portion of today's podcast to the Kansas City Buffalo showdown at Arrowhead, because we know we got a lot of Bills listeners, and we know how we launched this podcast.
Sunday night game, Brett Veach. I mean, the GM that pulled off the trade with Dorsey with us. So, yeah.
And that's the bar for Buffalo. It's Mahomes. It's the Chiefs. I hate to say it, but you can pummel on Miami and Houston all you want.
It's like the first game of the year right now for Buffalo.
It really is. So, to get to know the Chiefs a little bit, we're going to have Matt on. and we will bring him on right now. And here he is, ladies and gents, Matt Miller, my former coworker at Bleacher Report. Matt, it's great to see you. NFLDraftScout.com is the URL, correct? You own that? Yeah,
TheDraftScout.com, yep. And you beat me to the Substack punch. I knew I was leaving Bleacher Report, but I was keeping it quiet. Like, I hadn't told anyone. And I'll never forget, I just pulled up to my office one day, and you and I were on the phone, and you were like, I'm going to do the Substack thing. And I just had to be like, yeah. Oh, really? And because, like, I knew what I was going to do. I'd made the decision, you know, to leave Bleacher Report. And it was funny because I felt like you launched and Peter King writes it up in his article and it Monday morning article. And I'm like, damn, tide's taking off. And then, you know, I just had to like limp my way out of this press release like 2 weeks later, like, hey, I'm leaving too. And like, but you've done great things. I'm so excited to be on with you. I mean, co-workers forever, friends. We were at a Little Wayne concert in the rain together on South Beach. Many people can say that. So, right?
God. Little Wayne concert.
So, but, I mean,
he was thriving at that little. I was standing there like a fish out of water, just trying to drink. Ty's in heaven. It was great.
Awesome.
So we were just before we hit record, we were talking about the pros and cons of
living that life.
You know, working at Bleacher Report, doing our own thing. I think we both agree doing our own thing has been a hell of a lot of fun, and it's so rewarding. Yeah. Every day is challenging and exciting. But yeah, when we were at Bleacher Report, the Super Bowl down in Miami, they put us up at the nicest.
The Delano.
Hotel. Yeah.
It was still one of the nicest hotels I've ever stayed at.
And then there were squatters in the lobby, like, all over the place saying, hey, tonight Lil Wayne's going to have a concert in the hotel pool.
That's how Super Bowl week is.
In the hotel pool. Yeah. It's a good time. At some point, I'm going to do a podcast just on all the dumb things I did while I was at Bleacher Report that someone should have stopped me from doing. I've been like, do you guys really need to do that? But there was like, I fell in that weird gap there where like I wasn't really on the NFL team. I wasn't really on the college football team. And I'd been there so long that there was not a lot of oversight, which is probably why they were happy to see me go too. You know, when I let them know I wasn't coming back, they're probably like, good. We should save so much money just on expense reports from this guy. So, but it's good to see y'all, you know, killing it. And I'm really happy to be on here with you.
It's great to see you. As much as I want to do an oral history on this Lil Wayne 2 Chainz concert at the hotel in the rain, we got to talk some Bills, talk some Chiefs. This is the game. And for those who don't know, Matt really knows as much about the Chiefs as anybody you're going to find out there. With your perspective on covering the whole league and covering the draft, I always love talking to you about the Kansas City Chiefs because, I mean, you've kind of seen this team's rise. And right here we have Jim Monas, who was – part of that rise mm-hmm. in a roundabout way, right?
Roundabout.
With the Patrick Mahomes.
Roundabout. Hey, we,
right?
We set him up nicely.
So where are the Chiefs at, though, right now? I mean, it was – you're talking about back-to-back games, like costly turnovers from Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Don't see out of him. The defense is, in Jim's words, garbage.
Like, Matt, I really – like, they're not doing anything on defense. I mean, it's not like
– right.
You know, they're not – this powerhouse on offense, and they were not slowing them down. So that's what I was curious about. I don't want to hit you with too many questions, but speak on Mahomes' little kind of, I don't want to say carelessness, but a little bit. And your thoughts on the defense are.
Well, Jim, I think they're connected. You're right. You know, Mahomes has thrown an interception in what, maybe every game this year, at least the last couple games, right? And so I don't think that we need to hit the panic button and start acting like, wait, is Patrick Mahomes not Patrick Mahomes anymore? No, he's still the best quarterback on planet Earth. Like, we're good there, right?
Agreed.
But I do think, to your point of, I do think he's been aggressive, more aggressive this year because the defense is so bad. You know, when you're allowing Philadelphia to score 30 points, you have to go out there and produce. And so I think we've seen that, you know, even I was at the game week one, and it was like, you know, if Nick Chubb doesn't fumble, that's a loss as well. And we're looking at 1-3 Chiefs team at this point. So I do think that some of that is at this point in the season, and I haven't talked to Pat about this, so I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but it's almost that belief of, I got to step up. We have to score because we're not stopping anyone right now. And I think that does lead to, you know, maybe trying to do too many no-look passes, which I think Marcus Kemp still needs to catch that damn ball. You know, it was a little behind him, but you're in the NFL. You got to make that catch. And so I do think we've seen him, you know, and last week it paid off. You know, some of those chunk plays to Tyreek Hill are, you know, that's old school Patrick Mahomes, where it's this play has broken down. I'm just trying to make something happen, and I trust my guys. And so I do think we've seen that happen on offense, to where this is back to being a triangle offense. It's Mahomes, it's Tyreek, it's Travis Kelce. There, I know Clyde has had 100 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire have back-to-back 100-yard games, but that's almost like garbage time. You know, it's they're not running the ball to throw the ball. You know, it is back to they need a number two receiver to step up. Mecole Hardman, I saw today, I wish I could remember who tweeted it, he hasn't had a catch past the line of scrimmage since week two. So, and that's only 2 weeks ago, right? Or 3 weeks ago now, but it's still like they need someone else to step up. And I think that's where you're looking ahead to this game. I think Kansas City is the favorite because they're at home. But Buffalo's defense on paper matches up really well with this offense, because they have the guys in the secondary and they have the ability to get home with the pass rush. And so I think that's what's going to make it interesting. I'm excited because I'll be there Sunday night. I'm going to do my damnedest to stay sober throughout the day so that I can actually watch this game. Night games at Arrowhead are a different animal. I know you guys know how to tailgate in Buffalo. I'm not telling you any secrets here, but it's going to be pretty exciting.
So, sorry, go
no,
ahead.
No, what I was going to say, Matt, when I watch tape on the Chiefs, you're right. It's like you see the big plays to Tyreek and the big plays to Kelce, but where's the down in and down out? What's their identity on offense? You know,
right.
And that's kind of what I'm missing. And I didn't think about I like how you put that, where maybe for the first time Mahomes is saying, man, we can't stop anybody. I need to make plays. And maybe that's the first time he's feeling that. He's not the issue. Let's get that
correct. Clear. Yeah.
He is the best football player on the planet. There's no
unabashedly pro Patrick Mahomes in this podcast.
We're never going to argue that. But I guess I was curious because, you know, Coach Spagnuolo was with us in New Orleans for one season, and we had to give up the most yards in the history of football that year. And at the Senior Bowl that year, we had a big meeting where Ryan Pace actually kind of ran the meeting. He was director of pro scouting. Coach Payton was coming off suspension. And pretty much said, thanks for your work, Spags. We're gonna try something different. So I'm not saying it's all Spagnuolo's fault, because obviously he has Super Bowl rings, and he and Andy Reid go back to Philly, who I worked with them in Philly too. But I've seen this before with his defenses, where they don't stop anybody. And it's confusing.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know Spags much better than I do.
He's a really good man.
Yeah, I don't know that we've ever had a conversation, so I don't want to frame it like we're besties or anything. But what you hear about him is that he is a very stubborn man, great man, really good coach, but is stubborn. And I think some of what we're seeing right now is this is a defense that's also been very affected by Frank Clark being injured. And Frank has had, you know, quite an offseason to now go with the injury. So you end up with Chris Jones playing on the outside, where week one, he had some plays against the Browns where you were like, oh, my God, I think this is actually going to work. Well, then guess what everyone did, because NFL defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators are really smart. They watched that tape and said, that's a 300-pound defensive end. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to run at him, and we're going to make a play in space, and we're going to give him all these option looks. And they've been gashed up the middle. You know, when you have to defend Lamar Jackson, this is like high school football stuff. You don't want a 300-pound defensive tackle on the edge being the read player. So I think that is one thing. Getting Frank Clark back will help. But they also, you know – they need to start getting Willie Gay back off IR. You need to get him acclimated into this defense, because the middle of the field is a problem for them. They've spent 2 second-round picks on linebackers, Nick Bolton and Willie Gay, and you're still playing Ben Neiman and Anthony Hitchens. So I think that's where your personnel department and your coaching staff have to get together and say, all right, like, we know you trust Hitchens, but you got to get him off the field. He's not fast enough. And we know you trust Ben Neiman, and he's incredibly smart. He's a good leader, but he can't cover a tight end to save his life. And so I think at some point they do have to have that youth movement almost of, you know, let's get these young guys out there. They are going to make mistakes. They got to learn through it. And, you know, for a team that hit on a player like Legarius Sneed, who is such a difference maker, you know, unfortunately the safety position I think is a weakness right now. And that might sound sacrilegious, because I think a lot of people hear the name Tyrann Mathieu and they think that's the best safety in the NFL. It's not, guys. It's not. It's, you know, and I said this last year, this isn't just a prisoner of the moment thing. He has become hesitant at times. You know, he's still going to pick off passes. He's still a good center fielder, but they need someone back there who could be a consistent, reliable tackler, who can be a playmaker. And Dan Sorensen, Dirty Dan, love the guy. He's going to be great at bouncing off you, and he's going to have those like impact highlight type plays, but there's so many missed tackles. There's poor pursuit angles. So as great as the Kansas City offense is, and I wrote this earlier this week, guys, is This to me looks like a team that could be one and done in the playoffs, because like this defense can't stop anyone right now. And when January gets here, like this is still a physical league, as Brandon Staley said in the press conference clip that's kind of going around. Still physical, you know. You still got to be able to do those things, and so I think that's where Kansas City is, you know, at a loss a little bit right now.
I definitely want to ask you, Matt, about a player who kind of brings all of our listeners together here. You've got some insight on him. I've got some insight on him. I feel like he's a guy that maybe they could actually use right now. Sammy Watkins, or at least somebody like Sammy Watkins, the idea of Sammy Watkins, because you mentioned that triangle offense. There's really not another weapon on that Chiefs offense that you can go to. I really thought that by now Hardman would be that
player.
But there's some obvious trust issues between Patrick Mahomes and Mecole Hardman that, I mean, remember the postseason last year, it seems like, you know, I mean, body language says so much, and Mahomes was getting pretty frustrated with him, but gosh, I don't know. Sammy's a one-on-one, man. I mean, we sat down there at that restaurant in Orlando talking about etheric bodies and astral realms and being outside of your physical body and control head and all this stuff, but, and he'll make you believe, I'm telling you, he took me to a weird place where I was, you guys drafted.
No, I was just going to say, we traded. Yeah. He made me believe he was going to be a number one receiver.
He brings all of us
together. I had him. I've known Sammy since his freshman year at Clemson. I thought he was best receiver in that draft. Mike Evans turned out to be pretty good. Odell Beckham Jr., pretty good. So we all have those misses. Ty, I think that, especially, you know, living around the Kansas City area, I think one problem here is people know that the Chiefs missed the threat of someone like that, where Sammy was hurt a lot. And there, he would go through stretches of just three catches, four catches. But then he would have a game where it's like, 100 yards. And it was always just the threat of him. And I think that is what Kansas City misses, whether it's even another tight end. You need someone. And I think that's what – I thought Clyde Edwards-Helaire would be that guy out of the backfield. I really, truly did. And maybe we're starting to see that. But I don't know how much LSU you guys watched that year. But he caught so many passes out of the backfield. You know, he was – so good as a swing receiver, and we haven't seen that happen yet. So I think, you know, there's a lot going on with that offense. You have three players who had never started an NFL game on the offensive line, with Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, and Lucas Nying. So center, right guard, right tackle, all brand new. And then you have a new left guard, Joe Tooney, a new left tackle in Orlando Brown, who's still new to that position as well. So I think a lot of people saw what Brett Veach did to that offensive line and like, oh, it's fixed. This is easy. And it's not that simple. You know, it's not fixed just because you added five new good players. You know, there's still chemistry and time to gel. And I think the good news is that they are getting better each week, it seems like. Although, I mean, it's going to be a hell of a test on Sunday night too.
What did the front office and the coaching staff think of Sammy Watkins off the field? I mean, that conversation is something I'll remember for the rest of my life. I loved it. It's refreshing to hear somebody talk in those terms and think outside, way outside of the box. But what was your reception? Like, you know, I mean, you're plugged in with that team. What do they think about Sammy just as a dude, like, away from the field?
Yeah. I don't know what the overall, you know, thought process on him was, but I do remember having someone tell me that Sammy Watkins is the player they most had to worry about, who you didn't have to worry about, if that makes sense. Like, you know, he wasn't going to, like, get arrested,
so
right?
Well said.
There's so not going to be a domestic violence situation. You had to worry that, like, week nine, he might just be like, I don't want to play football anymore. Yep. So you still had to, like, try to keep him motivated, keep him dialed in. So it was more like, you know, you guys know, like, we talk a lot about football character and things like that. Like, Sammy's not a bad guy at all. In terms of football character, you're probably going to knock him a little bit, because he could be aloof, you know, and I think that's followed him. You know, there's a reason he's on another team, despite being this very well-respected deep threat who has a unique skill set.
You never see Sammy celebrate on the field a lot with teammates.
That's a great point.
I've noticed it with, I'm like, who's he tight with? Who's he just go, what he is reliable to a quarterback. He runs the right routes. He's going to catch the football. You know, he's going to block. He gives great effort as a blocker. I mean, he's just, you said it really well. It's like, who is he? He's just different. He's just a little unique. He loves football, but yet he doesn't show it, like, with his teammates.
He's got a huge heart. Like, he really does. I think he really cares about people. Oh,
he does.
And he was best friends with Caleb Holley on your Bills team.
Yeah, that's why we kept him on the practice squad.
Right.
Did.
And when
don't let Aaron Rodgers hear that, man.
Like, hurt him.
You keep them players because they're close?
Practice squad. Yeah. We didn't go out and get Cobb, you know, old slot.
Randall Cobb. Or,
who did show up a little bit last week, actually.
He did, right? You know, there's that, you know, talking about Kansas City, they have that player too. You know, Dieter, the wide receiver, practice squad guy. And like, you know, like he and Mahomes are close, so he's on the team. But every team has that guy, and it always makes me think of Aaron Rodgers, like just being pissed to hell that Jake Kumerow gets picked up by the Buffalo Bills. You know, and I know Ty has – we could spend days having those conversations. So,
well, we do.
He's probably listening to this podcast, right? Because, you know, every week it's an airing of grievances on his show. So we should watch what we say because it will be plucked and dissected.
Right.
All right. So what's going to happen, man? I mean, I really want to talk about Sammy Watkins for hours and hours. I'm just fascinated by this guy. But
yeah,
this team, the Bills, the Chiefs, what's going to happen Sunday night at Arrowhead?
I want to be careful saying this because I will be there and I don't, I've seen like three fights at football games this year. So I think the Bills win, and I've already warned all my friends. Like I think the Bills will win. It's just their ability to, like, how do you want to play this team? I know a lot of folks say you can't play ball control, like keep the ball away from Mahomes. At some point they're going to score. Right. But I think Buffalo has that mix of let's get Zach Moss going. I think it's a better offense when he's rolling. Number one, you have the big play element with Stephon Diggs. You have the chain mover with Cole Beasley. Dawson Knox has been fantastic early this season. So I do think we probably see a little bit of a shootout here though, just because as we've spent a lot of time talking about, Kansas City can't score or can't stop anyone, excuse me. So it's going to be high octane. And I think that's what makes this fun. It might be, you guys remember, was it 2019 Rams Chiefs, where it just felt like, legitimately, whoever has the ball last going to win. And I hope it's like that, but I think Buffalo comes out with it. I know that defense is, I think they're healthy now. I haven't seen the injury report as we're sitting here Thursday morning, but if everybody's out there, like, that's just such a talented unit. I'm praying we get a lot of Tre'Davious White on Tyreek Hill just so we can nerd out about that matchup. But Micah Hyde back there roaming, patrolling. We've seen Mahomes turn the ball over. So that, I'll predict that's the difference. Is a late Mahomes pick, I think the Bills win.
You know what I struggle with though? And sorry, Jimmy, I'm going to cut you off.
No, I'm good.
But like, when they played in the regular season last year, Sean McDermott kind of coached scared.
Yeah, we thought, we said that.
Right? Like he coached kind of scared. It was like trying to shorten the game. And then Patrick Mahomes still was like, God, I wish I had it in front of me, like 21 to 25. Like,
every chance he got.
Like, he completed the pass. And they're like, okay, we'll just run. Like, you're going to sit back. Like, we'll just. And so they get to the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs are doing the Chiefs thing. They're scoring at will. They're moving the ball at will. And Sean McDermott's kicking field goals.
I think.
And you can't do that. We've seen that this year.
Approach this game. Like, I don't know. I don't know how he's going to approach an Andy Reid Chiefs game. And that worries me. From the Bills.
I would go for two every time I score, number one. We've seen teams do that. Cleveland did it, I think, week one. I think Baltimore did it. If you score against Kansas City, you got to get eight. Like, take every advantage you can.
I think this is a game where the Bills can finally say, like, we're a serious contender. Like, this is a game I really do. I feel like you. I feel like the Bills should win this game the way both teams are. The Bills are a very complete football team. Special teams are really good. Defense really good, offense really good.
Yeah,
the ball, pass the ball. Chiefs haven't, like you said, they can't stop anything right now, run or pass. So I think if the Bills are serious, this is a game they win.
We'll see. Well, Matt, we kept you long enough, man. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It's great to see you.
Likewise, and we'll carve out more time to get into all our past hijinks and Sammy Watkins and astral projection and everything else.
Let's do a pod at the Senior Bowl this year.
Yeah, I like it. Let's do it.
There we go. I've forgotten more than I'll ever remember about what happens. So that might be a good spot for it. Maybe I'll have some, you know, bring back some memories. So
it's a long.
We'll make it happen.
A lot of dudes. It's a long.
Yes, it is.
As soon as I brought it up, I realized I really don't want to go back.
Right.
Yeah, maybe the comp. Maybe something else.
Every year, I tell my, you know, my friends who work with me, I tell them every year, I was like, guys, we're not going to Veats. every year by Wednesday, we've been at least once. You know, it's like we're not going. We're not going. And yep, sure
you,
enough.
I promise you, Rex and Rob Ryan are somewhere in there.
Always. They always are. Yep.
Great to see you, man. Thanks for making some time for us.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
See you, Matt.
See you, Matt.
See you guys.
That was Matt Miller, the NFL Draft Scout.com does a great job, as we mentioned earlier, part of the Substack community. And I just love catching up with Matt. He's such a great guy. Yeah, and I wish we did have more time to talk about our hijinks, because he's just somebody you want to have a beer with. He's just, I get it. You know, he does, it's great at his job. Great. Produces great work. Everybody should subscribe to that Substack in addition to go along, make it part of your life.
Especially
all of
if
that.
You care about the draft.
If you care about the draft, he's all
but
over
it. But he does it.
It
all, but the draft.
But he's a great guy. Yeah, he's somebody that you'd want to have a beer with.
Yeah,
right?
He gets it. He gets it. He does his work, speaks on it. You know, he's not just speaking his opinions. He does his work on these players, watching tape, and I always respect that.
So we got a lot of Chiefs perspective.
Yeah.
Let's get some Bills perspective. And we seem to always cycle on back to Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. But I think it's for good reason, because I mean, these are two franchises that went two distinct directions based on the draft that you were part of.
Yeah.
We should really touch on that in case people didn't catch it earlier.
Yeah.
We launched in December of 2020. But like you were in that draft room. You were there. You knew that Terry Pegula loved Patrick Mahomes.
You know,
early.
He was on him the whole year. And look, everybody has hits and misses as a staff, including McDermott, Whaley, myself. We just didn't think it was the time to take a rookie quarterback, regardless if it was Mahomes, Trubisky, or Deshaun Watson. We thought, Sean really decided, let's keep Tyrod, who obviously is a good NFL starting quarterback. Let's keep Tyrod. Let's get some draft capital and let's build this thing, you know? And we were all in agreement with that. And Terry, you know, to Terry's credit, it was hard for him, but you know, he went with that, and give him credit for, you know, stepping away from it, and give the Bills credit for getting Josh Allen right. You know, and now you can look at it where now it looks like a good, you know, good trade, because Josh is, you know, not that he's Mahomes, but he's certainly good enough that you know you can win and get to the AFC Championship with him. You got Tre'Davious White. We took in that draft with that trade, you know. So I think there was some good that came from it other than not getting Mahomes. But, sure, these guys are always going to be linked together. I mean, I feel like Terry watches this game and says,
oh, my God,
is Josh better than him? Is Josh better than Patrick?
Guarantee you that's how he's watching these games, as he should.
I mean, and it's always going to be on his mind. He loved them. It's always going to be on his mind. So, yeah, it's definitely – that's intriguing. But at this point – these teams are battling against each other to get to the Super Bowl. It's not about Mahomes versus Allen anymore.
Yeah.
It's look at this defense that McDermott and Leslie Frazier have really kind of put together. They're lights out right now. Now, let's also say they haven't really played a real offense yet. You know, the best offense they played this year is Washington football team with the backup from the XFL, our boy Heinicke. So this is really going to be a good test for the Bills defense to see if they're for real, which I think we all think they're definitely for real. And now can the Bills offense exploit what I keep saying is a poor Chiefs defense, that they aren't doing anything against the run or pass right now. And this is one of those games where there can't be missed touchdowns by Josh, like against the Steelers when he overthrew Emmanuel Sanders. Like you can't miss these anymore. Let's start hitting these against the bad defenses, get up on them, play with the lead, and enforce your dominance.
I'm really fascinated with Brian Daboll, because the Baltimore game, he didn't want to run the ball at all.
Right.
The Chiefs game, he didn't really want to run. They've got some good cooking with Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. You did note the fumbles that Singletary's had.
I saw Sean on the sideline last week. As soon as that fumble happened, he looked. He was like a manager in baseball. Like, boom. Like, it can't happen. Four fumbles in four games. Can't happen. So that's going to be interesting how they – let's see if he gives them another chance. Or was that his – or was going into that game saying, look, you do it again, it wouldn't shock me if we just see a heavy dose of Moss.
The desire to run versus the Chiefs, though, is it going to be there?
Yes, it has to be. It can change the game for you. And we all know you want to keep the ball out of the Chiefs' hands. You don't want to play conservative, but it's okay if you can get a lead to be able to keep the ball, running the ball, and not just give it back to the Chiefs. Because no lead's safe. We know with every great quarterback, we see it every week. You give Brady the ball, you give Aaron Rodgers the ball with 37 seconds left, they score. It's insane how great these top quarterbacks are.
This is why I love Brandon Staley with the Chargers. I mean, when they beat the Chiefs at his press conference, and we'll get to his other press conference, talking about the run game and why it's so important. But when they beat the Chiefs, he said, like, they are the Golden State Warriors. They've got Steph Curry. They've got Klay Thompson. Yeah. They've got Kevin Durant.
Like, the triangle. Matt said the triangle offense.
They're going to keep coming at you.
I like
they're going to keep scoring. Their pedals going to be that. I think the matchup here is, we talked about it with Matt a little bit, Sean McDermott, Andy Reid. If you're Sean McDermott, you can't be settling for 18 and 19 yard field goals.
No, field goals almost are, I mean, I don't know how they enter your mind against the Chiefs.
I mean, really, it's unforgivable, that AFC Championship game, to settle for those kicks. They weren't going to win that game either way.
Agreed.
But you can't approach competition the way the Bills approached that competition. You can't be afraid. And you shouldn't be afraid. They've got the talent.
That's what I was just going to
say. They've got the quarterback.
You're the better team.
They've got the team.
You're the better team.
Yep. Man up.
You're the better team.
Right.
It's time to show it.
The first game, they played afraid too, and sitting back and, you know, saying, all right, Chiefs, you can run for 200-300 yards, do whatever you – well, of course they're going to win still. Don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Either side of the ball if you're the Bills.
No.
Don't be afraid. What are you afraid of with the team you have?
That's what I keep saying. I wrote about it on the Moments Report on Go Long. This is a chance to show the league we are the team to beat. There, to me, if you do power rankings, which I know everybody likes to do their power rankings.
Oh, God, I hate power. I'm glad we don't do power rankings at Go Long. If we ever do, please come to Boston, New York, and punch me in the face.
It's exhausting. But
I love it when fans are like, oh, did you see we moved up in the power rankings? That nebulous thing that doesn't mean shit. You moved up in that? Great.
And it's true. But there is just not a more complete team right now than the Buffalo Bills. As far as every phase of the game is strong right now. Now just go out and prove it.
They lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Everybody has those games in the NFL. You're going to always look back and say, how? We lost a lot. Lear in New Orleans, we won the Super Bowl. We lost the last three games of the year. I mean,
really?
Yeah. We were 13-0 and went and lost the last three. So I always say NFL is always week to week, but there's certain games that the Steeler game, okay, let's watch this one. To me, you're actually showing this is who we are. We are this good.
All right. I got to ask you this, Jim. All right. So. I mean, you were there. You're around Terry Pegula. You're around Sean McDermott, Doug Whaley.
Yes.
What? I mean, when Terry's sitting there watching this game, I mean, he's watching the quarterback that he loved at Texas Tech play in, play out.
Patty Pegula. I always call him Patty Pegula.
Look, Josh Allen deserves every penny of the contract
he got. No doubt.
He's been phenomenal.
AFC Championship.
But right if there. Patrick Mahomes beats the Bills again.
It's just, look.
Three in a row. Okay. What is going through Terry's head watching that?
I don't.
At Arrowhead.
I personally don't think, you know, I know the Forbes list that just came out and Terry had a little bump in his net worth to like $5.6 billion. So I'm not sure anything can keep you up at night when you have a net worth like that. But I think if Mahomes gets them again, I think it annoys him enough to maybe lose an hour of sleep. But look, these teams they're going to see him again.
Yeah.
Most likely. You know, this game is going to be a good game, and they're probably going to see each other again in the playoffs.
And I'll say this, after reporting on the series that we had to go along on Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys and how involved Jerry Jones has been for 25 years.
Yeah. Always and, two rings, you know, like the GM.
Right. He's the general manager.
He wants to make the picks, he is officially
the general manager. So I don't care. You can tell me that all these other people have power. Will McClay, fine.
Right.
At the end of the day, he's at the top of that masthead. But with Terry Pegula, you have to give him credit. So you were there. He doesn't insert himself into that decision making process when he could have, when he loved somebody and he wanted that player. He easily could have, and he didn't do it. He let it play out, and they ended up in a pretty good situation here.
Yeah, it ended up okay. Well, but yes.
Above pretty good.
I mean, and we've talked about this before, but if we do take Mahomes in that draft, you know, you're changing everything now and the whole history of everything that's happened since. And does he grow in Dennison's offense that first year? Because he would have had
David Culley as his QB coach.
The underrated, the return home last week for Culley to Orchard Park in the rain, watching him on the sidelines, did you want to give him a hug? or just say, did you really want this job? And that was, that wasn't even a real NFL football game.
No.
Sorry, I just went off on a tangent.
The triumphant return.
Davis,
we should have come to Hamburg Brewing. We should have welcomed him in and done a little pod.
I don't even
We make fun, but he's in a tough spot.
That's a nightmare situation right now.
They're not even an NFL team.
They weren't a competitive team. They didn't put a competitive team on the field the other day. That was amazing. They'll probably win this week. That's the NFL, but yeah.
Man. But yeah, you're right. To throw Patrick Mahomes into that situation.
It changes the dynamics of everything. But not to say, nobody's ever going to sit there and debate that he should have been the first pick of the draft. Not alone should we have taken him. He should have been the first pick of the draft. Cleveland took Miles Garrett. Bad pick.
Which is crazy because he might be the best defensive player in football.
Bad pick. So anyway.
Well,
I know.
I don't know where I stand on this game. I have a hard time getting past.
You still think Chiefs can get them?
I still think Chiefs because I have to see it out of Sean McDermott. I think that coaching
matters.
You're
not sold on that part of it.
Yeah, I want to see how he approaches it.
That's fair.
Are they going to punt on fourth and two at midfield?
That's fair.
Are they going to kick the 20-yard field goal?
I can see the text coming from you right now.
Oh, it's maddening stuff. And but they have the talent. They have the roster. The front office
is
fielded. We were skeptical of the pass rush because
it's showing up.
Right.
It's showing up.
I mean, some of these draft picks we questioned. And
we need to see more. I mean, I still want to see more, but I feel like it's there. They still haven't, like I said, though, this is the best offense they played is the Washington football team. Let's really dive into this game before we anoint everybody the great defense.
It's true.
I don't want to get, because I'm guilty of it. I do like this Bills defense too, but let's see him against this Chiefs team. The Chiefs offensive line has protected Mahomes very well this year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's see how this goes. I mean, we're going to learn a lot about both teams, I think, this week.
Good segue, too, because I think the Bills, if they run the ball a little bit more, Devin Singletary and Zach Moss really get rolling, because you saw what Lamar Jackson, that Ravens-Brown game did, where, I don't know, however creatively that you slice it up front, you can find some rushing lanes against this team. Clearly, let's dive into Brandon Staley's comments, because I absolutely loved it, and I wasn't alone. Everybody seemed to be universally in agreement that – you know, I think we're kind of beat over the heads by the analytic community that running backs don't matter. Running the football doesn't matter. This is a very human podcast. Football is a very physical game played by humans. It's not baseball in terms of the emphasis on numbers. And you can't break the game down to numbers to that degree like you can with baseball or even basketball, because football,
it's different.
There's emotion. You're bashing into other human beings for 3 hours. And the way Brandon Staley put it, you need a run game to force the defense to get off blocks, to force the defense to tackle.
Agreed.
It was music to the ears.
I think what gets lost when we talk about it's, I think it's more the value of where you draft running backs compared to do you need a running back? You know, like, to me, the Steelers taking their running back in the first round this year made no sense to me. Like, that seemed like a wasted pick, regardless of the player. Just any running back. Why? You don't have the right quarterback. You can't, like, what are you trying to do? This is, the new NFL is not that. But what isn't lost is you have to have a threat of a running game. Every quarterback will tell you that. Green Bay has one. Tampa, when they really started to play better last year, now they don't run the ball very well now, but in the playoff, there was a threat of it, just a threat. It doesn't have to be your identity, but you can't just make it all about the quarterback, and that's when you get in trouble. And that's kind of what, you know, the Bills are really doing a nice job of, and they're doing it with different guys and different styles, and that really causes problems. You know, in New Orleans, we were lucky enough to have Reggie Bush, Pierre Thomas, Deuce McAllister, who had different styles. And once you bring in different styles and different run game schemes based on the running back styles, that defense is constantly guessing.
You know what's ironic, too, is I believe Brandon Staley, so their defense with the LA Rams, that's kind of in vogue now, where you
just quick
sit
get
back
up,
with
get
the
up.
Safeties, yep. Force a team to go 10 to 12 plays to score a touchdown. Like, I think most defenses are content with that. Like if you force an offense,
don't give up big play
to go downfield.
Yes,
you know, 7-8 yards at a time. You're okay with that. He's at the cutting edge of this all, so he knows that he created that defense, and he knows that there's an effect in this. Like there needs to be a running game. You need to have a presence. I'm with you. Like, I mean, if there's a special talent at running back worth drafting in the first or second round, I'd probably still take him. But it's more about the bigger picture of
every situation having it, right?
Possessing it. And you watch that Ravens Chiefs game, man. I mean, it's Lamar kind of as the tip of the spear.
I was going to say, you're talking about,
it's a different beast about the greatest, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, the most unique, Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson.
But you could see that effect, that pounding, that physical pounding of forcing a team playing and play out to think at the line of scrimmage, to be physical at the line of scrimmage. Like, to have that kind of element to some degree for the Chiefs, for the Bills, for the Packers. You think of these quarterback-centric teams, you need some of that stuff kind of sprinkled in there.
Ask any offensive lineman.
They'd just rather be forward than backwards.
That's it. That's all you have to do. Yeah. Ask any offense line what they get excited for. And there's no better feeling for any team. And the guys on the sideline will see it too. The defense, you know, as they're sitting there watching their offense, and when they see them just start running the ball, they all look at each other like, keep doing it. Let us sit here. Just keep pounding and beating that team down. And it takes off. It's an identity. It's a way to say, this is who we are. And I do think this is a week the Bills can do it. I really think this is a week where they can, you know, show that we are the team to beat, not you guys.
And as much as we're talking about a run game, this is a huge week for Josh Allen. You paid him a lot of money.
It's time
to win games like this on the road at Arrowhead. Let's see it.
Yeah.
It seems like he turned a corner. It seems like good Josh is back.
Yeah, I want to see
2020 Josh.
The only thing I need to see from the passing game that we haven't seen this year yet, and they haven't really needed to, is the consistent down the field completions.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
yep.
That we saw a lot of last year.
I think that might be NFL wide though too.
And it could be that we're to your point too. That hey, we're not giving up the chunk yards. Go ahead and make us earn. But that's the one thing I would like to see from the offense. But I mean, everything else I keep talking about. I can't get over Emmanuel Sanders. That is the pickup of the all. I love it.
Upgrade from John Brown.
He's as good as he's everything you want right now.
Clearly though, the Bills are really screwing up by not getting the ball more to Isaiah McKenzie.
Well, now anybody that is part of the go long team, we need to get the ball to.
That's right. Well, it was a fun time. That first episode, Misters, Barn Lanes, and East Aurora.
I like how we're the go long team is just branching out. We got veteran leadership in Bob. You know, we got me from the front office. You know, now we got a player.
I love it.
We're getting a lot of different angles.
Well, I just think that people, they're consuming media, however they consume media, right? Not everybody has time to sit down and read one of our 5 or 6,000 word stories. I get it. Like, I understand. That's why you're mixing up.
Yeah.
I mow the lawn every week. I'm changing diapers. Like, I put a butt in. I want to listen to Adam Carolla. I want to listen to a podcast. And
it's a good way to say
that's why we want to try to expand our podcast network. And we touched on it on here, but just real quick with the Isaiah McKenzie show, I just feel like the last couple years with COVID, NFL teams, they're pushing the press conference. Everything is about centralized messaging at a press conference. This whole season, writers aren't allowed in the locker room. You can't build those relationships that you used to be able to. When I was on the Packers beat, the Bills beat, when you were running the show, I mean, that Bills locker room, I got to know all those guys in there on such an intimate level. It was great. Like, Bakari Rambo, Duke Williams or DB, right?
Duke was awesome.
Booby Dixon, Sammy Watkins,
we had some Tyrod. Good characters.
It was all over the Percy Harvin before he left. But it was great. And you know what? It's not about us in the media. It's about the fans. It's about the fans that are
letting
paying
them
millions of dollars to support.
Get to hear and know the players that they're watching.
So the NFL has used COVID as an opportunity, in my opinion, to eliminate all of it. You know, there's no middle ground. So there's no locker room access. Some PR departments are better than others. I'll say that. The Jacksonville Jaguars, amazing. Flew down there, hung out with LaVisca Chenault for an hour, even during all this COVID nonsense. Got to know him, got to deliver a story for Go Long. It's not like that everywhere. So I figured with the Isaiah McKenzie show, here's an opportunity. Here's a guy I got to know through our happy hour, our story.
Story
go along.
Great, right.
Let's do 10 episodes. Story. Let's get together once a week. Let's just hear what he has to say. And you know what? If it comes at the expense of Notre Dame alum being mad, we'll have to take it.
Yeah, you can handle
that. We're going to call it No Sex Gate.
Which, you know, it's being talked about all over that Notre Dame. All the players are like, yep.
If people miss it, Isaiah McKenzie, he said that a coach told him that you can't have sex on campus if you come here. So he decommitted. Now, there's some grade stuff. And he has talked about that. His grades weren't great. There's a lot of other stuff going on. But it was hilarious. And Isaiah is 101. It was great.
Did the Jacksonville PR staff not stay around in Ohio after that Thursday night game to help out the head coach a little bit?
I tell you what, they're working overtime right now. I mean, they've got the best PR.
No,
staff
I'm just kidding.
Book.
I'm kidding.
And they need to deliver in this case because
I feel
bad for him. I mean, the deal with your head coach is grinding up on a girl at a bar, at his own bar with his name on, which by the way is a picture of Urban Meyer with his wife on the wall of the bar. Oh man, brutal.
Interested to see how they play this week for him. You know, you still have to be professional and still the head coach and you're still trying to, you know, this is your job, but it's hard. It's hard for them to look, you know, it's going to be hard for them to take him seriously.
How could you?
It's hard. I mean, but you know, between him leaving programs, making excuses, like he did at Florida, like he did in Columbia, like my health, this and that, there's more than that, Urban. And you know, is it going to shock me if he's at USC soon and there could be a possible buyout in the making? Wouldn't shock me. That wouldn't shock me with Urban Meyer.
Surprise anybody. I think the shock is if he stays and turns it around, right? That's the shock.
That would be impressive.
Yeah.
That would be impressive. It says a lot about the players.
October 25th, Mr.'s Bar and Lanes. That's our next event with Isaiah
McKenzie. I'm going to have to try to get out there and maybe ask some questions.
Definitely. Come on out. Reserve like your table out there, everybody listening, watching. We have all the info.
Can't wait for Sunday night.
It's going to be a great game. I mean, definitely heavy Bills, heavy Chiefs on this episode. But anything else that you wanted to hit on, Jim?
No, it's worth it. I think this game deserves it. I think this game deserves it. It's a good one. I did say in the moments report, I'm looking forward to seeing Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow go at it. That's more of like I said, the game means nothing in terms of the season for either team. But I'm interested to see if the Bengals are actually a real team right now. You know, like they're showing me signs. I love the quarterback, but let's see how they do it at home. This is a game to me I think the Bengals can win.
Josh Allen and Tre'Davious White or Patrick Mahomes?
Mahomes.
I agree.
Mahomes.
Still Mahomes.
Still Mahomes.
That's what makes us fun. That's what makes it fun. And we're going to write about it. Absolutely. Monday morning, we'll have a column at Go Long. And if you missed it, the Monis report's up right now.
Thanks,
it's always fantastic. It's having quarterback rankings, watching every snap of every game, every quarterback.
It's a good way to learn what's going on. Don't just look at the stats. Study the stats.
And if you don't subscribe, go along td.com. Join any day. Thanks so much, everyone.